The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org. Please join me in welcoming Frank Sherlock.
So tonight, I'm excited. So I have the honor to introduce to you the new Poet Laureate of the United States. And I couldn't think of a laureate in my lifetime that I'd want to introduce to you more. Because this year, things are different. Meet Juan Felipe Herrera. He is the only child of Mexican migrant workers and the only U.S. laureate to be inducted into the Latin Hall of Fame. You can find much of his biographical info on the dust jackets of the books you'll find outside the door. So let's just start with Juan's words. An ant writes with the grace of a governor. His father, after jumping off the train from Mexico to Denver to work on farms, purchased a word of English for 1 cent each. A penny a word. What a magnificent investment that was. Here we are with the payoff 1 generation later, showing us that our words are our fortune. In 1958, his third grade teacher told him he had a beautiful voice. He was moved by that and never forgot what she said. This isn't a fond memory for him to hold on to, but something to be shared with others throughout his life. Those words are worth more than all the money in our pockets. I share with Juan a history that neither one of us were considered born poets. When he was young, he didn't even know that being a writer was a thing. They tell you to be careful how you pick your friends, and Herrera is case in point. In the 60s, he was hanging out with poets from the Chicano arts movement, and here we are. So for the parents out there, watch who your children associate with. If you're not careful, you just might accidentally raise a poet. So start preparing a tactful way now to ask your child, "That's wonderful, but how are you gonna live on that?" But there'll be time for that. Now is the moment for Juan Felipe Herrera, who sees his art form as a call to action, to speak with the immigrant, the worker, the refugee, those who suffer the brutality of forces that know not of liberation and love, but know only fences, walls, murder, denial. Poetry is bigger than that. And as Herrera says, poetry is all around us. In 9 Drops of Blood, written for the American martyrs murdered in Charleston, South Carolina earlier this year, he says, "They are not 9. They are each one alive. We do not know. You have a poem to offer. It is made of action. Each one of us alive, each one of us with a poem to offer. Please welcome our new U.S. laureate to help us carry our poems higher than the city in which we live. Please welcome Juan Felipe Herrera."
Thank you so much. Thank you, Frank. Muchas gracias. That was a poem in itself. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm so happy to be here, here in Philadelphia, a real city with real human beings, and I feel really at home here. I guess that's what I'm saying. I feel really at home, and I've been telling everybody on the phone, I said, "Look, I feel so good here in Philadelphia," and it's true. It really is. And I love this library, by the way. I really love it, and I want to thank Andy. I really do. I really love it. I kind of grew up in libraries because I lived downtowns and downtowns. We were always moving around, and not only as a farm worker child in my father's giant army truck, which was amazing, moving around in an army truck from town to town and ranch to ranch, and seeing landscapes go by, and seeing my father work the land and drive tractors, and my mother. Also outside, and growing up outside in a sense, you know, having breakfast outside and having scrambled eggs or huevos rancheros or scrambled eggs or huevos revueltos or huevos fritos or huevos rancheros and fritos and scrambled. There were a lot of ways to make eggs. You know, 50 kind of ways or 352 kind of ways, and frijoles fritos, frijoles de olla. And tortillas, tortillas de mano, tortillas de tortilla, you know, the flauta, extended chiles, and making salsa. So that was a beautiful life. And moving around quite a bit in those early days. And I was going to talk about another movement I used to get into, about living downtown. So we moved to the city, finally. After a number of years, I guess I was around seven years old, and we came down the mountain from Ramona Mountain, east of San Diego, a city on top of a mountain, Indian reservation. And we were up there and came down. My father says, we always moved because of cosmic ideas my father had. And my mother would say, ¿Y por qué nos tenemos que mover? Why do we have to move again? Well, up in Ramona, they have the best water. They have the best water in the whole world, Lucha. The whole world, the best water in the whole world. Okay, Felipe, we're going to go to Ramona. And then we got to Ramona. We're moving to San Diego. So why are we moving to San Diego? Why are we moving to San Diego, Felipe? We just got here to Ramona. Gee, wow. Well, we're moving to San Diego because they have the best weather in the whole wide world. So we went to San Diego, and they do have the best weather in the whole wide world. So those were my beautiful parents. Those were my beautiful parents. Very kind of basic, you know. We're very, very basic human beings, and working very hard. My father, Felipe. Like you said, Frank, a while ago, he would buy words for a penny. And he, as you also said, he came up from Chihuahua, northern Mexico, the land of Pancho Villa and the land of revolution. He came up in the late 1800s. He was born in 1882. And he was 66 when I was born. So that's the... That's the expanse of our lives, 1882, and here I am, 2015. That's a kind of a big expanse. And my mother was born in 1907, so I had a lot of stories and words. I guess that was the wealth of my family. That was the wealth of my family. Those pennies for a word that my father learned in English and then started to write, and wrote little love letters to my mom. In Spanish, but you know, he could write. You know, that was really pretty handwriting, and the stories, and stories in playing harmonica, and my mother telling the stories of her life as a young woman, and the stories of all the women in my family, and all the men in the family, and great grandmother and grandfather, and everybody. She filled a theater of characters with words for me. And she kept all these stories in the form of photographs that she had collected, inherited from my grandmother. So the library at home was a red, shiny red Woolworths kind of album. with black felt pages, with brownie photographs pasted in there, and with photos, daguerreotypes, and those ancient photos of the 1800s, and zinc plate photo, and that big old giant album, because she had to, she was the last daughter, the youngest daughter. And as you know, the youngest daughter in a Mexican traditional family has to do what? Right. The youngest daughter has to take care of the mother forever and cannot go out or date or get married until the mom goes, right. So, and then on top of that, my grandmother found my mom stealing candy in third grade with her friend. Her friend said, come on, let's go steal some candy. It's really good. And it's free. Come on, we gotta go. Down Alameda Avenue. And, you know, we'll have a taquito afterwards. So my mom stole a little piece of candy, and my grandmother found out and pulled my mom out of school forever. You know, I don't know, iron hand. Forever. And my mother loved school. She loved school, and she knew all the songs and all the poems and everything she could describe, and she sang me all the songs and told me all the stories of how much she loved school and a little medal she won, a spelling medal, as she won. But she got pulled out by my grandmother and then had to stay in the house until my grandmother passed away. And that was a long time. So those are the stories that, among many, that she would tell me. So I kind of learned a lot about, I heard a lot of stories, and tough stories for a little child to hear, but I heard them, and that was the wealth of my parents that they gave me. Let us gather in a flourishing way. I wrote this in 1970. Let us gather in a flourishing way. With sun, loose grains, abriendo los cantos, opening the songs. Que cargamos cada día, that we open every day. And el young pasto, the young grasses, the green blade grasses. Nuestro cuerpo, our body. Para regalar y dar feliz perlas, to give. Happiness, pearls of corn flowing, árboles de vida, trees of life. En las cuatro esquinas, in the four corners. Let us gather in a flourishing way. Contentos, filled with happiness. Llenos de fuerza, filled with strength. To vida, to life, for life. Giving nacimientos, giving births to fragrant rios, to beautiful, fragrant rivers. Dulces, frescos, verdes, turquoise, strong, sweet, fresh, green. Carne de nuestros hijos, flesh of our sons, flesh of our daughters, of our heart, to toil, tranquilos in fields of blossoms, peaceful in those fields, juntos to stretch los brazos, together, stretching our arms, temprana estrella on our forehead, early dawn star on our forehead, en la mañana, in the morning, cielo de calor and wisdom to meet us where we toil, siempre in the garden of our struggle and joy. Always, let us offer our hearts a saludar to greet our águila rising, eagle freedom to celebrate, woven brazos, branches, ramas, branches, piedras, stones, nopales, cactus, plumas, feathers, piercing, bursting, figs and aguacates and avocados and ripe mariposa, butterfly fields and mares claros and clear oceans of our face to breathe, todos, all of us, en el camino, on this road, on this path, blessing seeds to give, to grow the land of sacred corn in the hands of our amor, de nuestro amor, of our love. Thank you so much. And that was a style, you know. That was the thing that we were all so excited about in the 60s. This was the thing that we were all excited about in the 60s. When we were all running around, you know, going into sweat lodges and entering those sweat lodges and bringing, burning, glowing, hot stones that were nursed in fire before the dawning light came up. And then we were brought in by the elder lodge, makers, and they were placed in the middle, and we went in there while it was still dark, and we had things to sing and things to say, and we gathered in a circle in those sweat lodges or kivas, and we had learned the songs, and some had learned the drums, and we sat in a circle, and the light was dark because it wasn't sunlight, and then the tarp got put over the entrance, and there you were in this circle, and it was hot, and it was very hot, and it was sweet, and there was sage being poured on the water, and water being poured on the stones, and the steam came up, and it kept on coming up, and you were in that circle, and you were sitting down on the mud, and the mud was cool, and you got hot, and you wanted to pass out, but you didn't want to pass out because nobody had passed out yet. So you stayed kneeling down or sitting down, and it got hotter and hotter, and you said to myself, well, I wanted to be in this sweat lodge. I kind of believe in it, but my ideology is kind of fading out right now. And it got hotter and hotter, and you couldn't believe you were still alive, but you were still alive. Somehow you had a body, and the body could take it, and the body told you, you can do this, Juan Felipe. Come on, come on, get it together. You can do this. But you didn't believe your body because you still wanted to pass out. So you grabbed some of the sage that was on the dirt, and there was mud there too. And you rubbed your face with mud, and you rubbed with those leaves on your face, and it smelled really sweet. And you rubbed it on your arms and on your chest and wherever you could rub it on your thighs, and it was still getting too hot. And then all of a sudden, you started hearing the stories about the brother that was having a hard time, that was taken to jail, that somebody was talking about. And they were asking for support from the group. And everybody kind of said something, you know. Yes, blessings. And someone else said something. And someone else said something. And by that time, it was so hot, it that was no longer the issue. And then you finally got out. And also you had to say something too. Well, I've been traveling a lot. And I'm away from home. I miss everybody, but I believe in what I'm doing. I'm here for the people, and I'm here to give them my poetry. I hope it will be well received, and that's how I feel today, this morning, you would say. And then people would support you, and it got steamy again. And then finally you went out into the morning light. And when you got out there, you kind of crawled, and you were wobbly, and you fell flat on your face on the ground. And there was no tension anywhere on your body. Nothing was tight. You were just, for once in your life, totally, all your weight was flat, hitting the ground, the earth, and nothing was, you know, curled up because it was tense, and the neck wasn't cricked, and it was just face full flat, snotty face, full flat on the dirt, muddy, snotty face, flat on the dirt, and your bones all were flat on the earth, and every bone in your body was flat on the earth, and your heart like being flat on the earth, and that was good. And for once, you really felt good, and no tension, no pain, nothing. So that's how this poem, this poem comes from that world. And making posters, remember, making posters and marching and all those good things. And inventing our own poetry. Here's another one similar. This is New Mexico. Anybody been up to New Mexico way up in the north, norte? Northern New Mexico, 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 Northern New Mexico. And what did you like about Northern New Mexico? It's gorgeous, isn't it? And beautiful mountains. And what else did you guys like about New Mexico? La caldera. And what's La Caldera out there? La Caldera is what? All kinds of elk. Big old open space, huh? With elk out there, yeah. And people, huh? And the people. And people telling stories. And really open, jeez. So there I was, you know, with my California hands, with my California poetry hands, which means they're marshmallows. And up there, you know. Hey, Juan. Yeah, what? You just got here, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. Well, you said you ran out of gasoline. Well, I did, you know. But I'll get back somewhere. I mean, I'll get back, you know. I'll make it back. Well, you said you needed a job. Yeah, I need a job. Yeah, right. Yeah, you got it right. Well, we got a job. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, what is it? Baling hay. What? Baling hay. Come on. That's Familia Fresca. They got a lot of hay to, you know, we got to bale some hay. Familia Fresca. Okay. Well, let me see your hands first. Oh, come on. You have to see my hands. Well, let me see your hands. You know, big old, you know, made out of wood, you know. Big logs coming out of their hands. Yosemite, you know, Yosemite right there. You don't want a hand brush by you, you know, knock you out. You know, just big old giant hand. Because, you know, you use your hands, you know. You get big logs in the morning, weigh 1,000 pounds. And you get a hatchet and you bust the logs, you make leña. Firewood, you bring it to the iron stove, you lift the iron stove up and you throw the leña in there, and then you go put fires out in the bosque, you know, big old, you know, hoses, you know, and you catch a horse, you tell the horse, come on, you're going the wrong way, get over here, and the goats, you know, are climbing all over the place, come on, go get down, you gotta get over here, pick up the goat with your hand, put the goat out there, and then you go grab those hot burning lava like chiles, and you pick them with your hands. The hands burn up your hand, and you make furniture. You make furniture. Yeah, but I had marshmallow hands, you know. So this is called Los Chapulines Verdes Vuelan, and I'll translate it as we go along. The green grasshoppers fly. Los chapulines verdes vuelan, el grillo toca su acordeón, raspan sus cantos en el adobe. The green grasshoppers fly. The grillo plays its accordion and it scratches its songs on the adobe. Los campos, the fields, glow, brillan, and the straw, la paja, está cortada, it is cut. And the pinos, the pine trees, they grow high. El cedro, the cedar, el piñón, they rock, they flow in the winds. And the water runs, corre el agua del ojo of the old spring. And la mariposa, the butterfly, el cuervo, the crow, drink from the sun. And split y rajan el viento and cut the winds. Fíjese, señor, que antes era como si fuéramos bendecido por Dios. You know, Juan? Before, a long time ago, it was like we were blessed by God. Se te caía una semilla y crecía una flor. That's the way it was. You drop a seed, and all of a sudden, a flower would rise. Y los indios y nosotros teníamos fiesta juntos. All the Indians and all of us. We'd come together, and we'd have a big old fiesta together. Bajábamos del río. We'd come down the river. Y cogíamos pescado, and we'd get fish. Y ahora, Señor, today, la gente ya no cree, they just don't believe. Ya no cree, they just don't believe. Las sierras están cercadas, there's fences and walls around the sierras. And los rinches cobran para pescar. And the rangers, they charge you just to fish. En nuestra misma tierra, on our own earth, que muy dura está, it's very hard and dry. That we have to go to work way out there. Tenemos que trabajar por allá. En Colorado, in the mines, en las minas, o peleando, or fighting the fires. In the forest, en los bosques. Before el venadito, the little deer would come down. Venía bajo el cerro. Acá atrás de la casa, behind our house. Corriendo libre, running free. Y alegre and happy. Y ahora, you gotta have a license just to catch a couple of deer. Para cazar venado. Por $50 no lo dan. $50, you get the license. Pues nomás los tejanos la compra. Pues only the Texans can buy that license. Le digo, Señor, I'm telling you, it's like we were blessed by God, como si fuéramos bendecidos por Dios, ancinamero, just like that. Los niños, sus brazos castaños, cargan leña. The children with their auburn colors, cut the logs. Y la piel de la mujer and the skin of the woman, same color, y el hombre es roja, es red. Tightened by the sun, viva, alive, franca, truthful, salada, salty, fecunda, flourishing. Vamos a ver, we're going to see. Walking, caminando sin platicar, without saying words. Laborando para encontrar nuestra vida, laboring, working to find our lives. En este llano, in this desert de soledad, of loneliness and solitude. Vamos a hacer nuestra labor. We're going to create our labor, our life, nuestra oración, our prayer. El sacrificio, the sacrifice, sin ambición, without ambition. Caminando sin platicar, walking without talking. En este llano, in this open space, de pasto amarillo, of gray grasses, yellow grasses, por el dolor, because of the suffering. Vamos a ver, we're going to see. Sí, vamos a ver, we're going to see. Enteros, together, whole, ancina mero, just like the dawn. Enteras y enteros, full and complete. Corazón sin fronteras, heart without boundaries. Hopi, Navajo, San Juan, Taos, Truchas, Chamizal, Picurí, Pojuaque, Peñasco, Velarde, Amalia, Española, Piedra, Lumbre, Tres Ritos, Las Cruces, Alburquerque, Santa Fe. Mezquite, Tierra María, Alburquerque, Santa Fuerza, Holy Strength. Vamos a hacer, we're going to be that. Una luz, one light. Una oración, one prayer. Una labor, one way of working. Una nación, one nation. La canción, the song. Sin mirar, o decir, or medir. Without looking, or measuring, or saying. La memoria, o el mañana. The memory, or the morning, or tomorrow. Vamos a ver, we're going to see. Nuestros pueblos, nuestros rostros, our faces y entrañas, our interior. Wave in the winds, murmurar en el río, palpitar en el llano, heart sounds in the desert, caminar sin platicar, walking without talking, una flor, one flower, sin fronteras, without borders, without boundaries, en el pedregal, in the broken stones. Same time. Thank you so much. Those are early. That's a book number one. That's from Rebosos of Love. We have woven Sudor de Pueblos on our back. Rebosos of Love, shawls of love, we have woven on our back Sudor de Pueblos, the sweat of the people. And it was that time. Traveling throughout the Southwest, writing, enjoying the adobe colors, meeting people freely, listening to their stories, exchanging stories, wearing sarapes, drinking beers, watching the sun go down in the chilly, chilly, chilly cold evening. And watching those beautiful stars murmur and tremble in the sky. And baling hay in the morning. In the morning. That sure hurts. I said, that's a heavy pitchfork, man. Come on, Juan Felipe. Come on, get it together. Come on. It's only 5 minutes you've been working. But you can imagine, remember the movies? When I was in the 50s, I would watch The Real McCoys. And it was Hassie and Luke and Grandpa McCoy. Now here, Luke. Come on, Luke. You get over here, Luke. Hassie. And you know, the big old, remember those famous country midday lunch after work, the bell rings like that. And everybody make a bell sound. 1, 2, 3. It's a little louder because everybody's hungry. And then I went up running because remember I had my my job all of a sudden, baling hay. And one of the big old perks was big old country New Mexican lunch. It was a big old banquet table as far as the eye can see. Big old stack of tortillas this high, around that high. Flour tortillas, New Mexican thick 1-inch flour tortillas. And you could put it on your face, warm up your face, wear it as a sombrero. Use it as a coat, you know. You could write on it, you know, write a story, turn it in, an English one. And a big old bowl of mashed potatoes. And, you know, there was all kinds of steaks, carne asada right there, a big old bowl of salsa, a big old bowl of chile colorado from Nuevo Mexico. And giant flasks of pepper and salt and butter. And black, you know, super sweet Indian coffee, New Mexico style, black, like 10 teaspoons of sugar, you know, super hot. And so that was lunch right there. That was lunch. And then we ran back out to, pitchfork bale hay. And my Pillsbury hands again. I have fond memories of Nuevo Mexico. My sisters live there that I just met up with after a whole lifetime 5 years ago. But at least I met up with them. That's the good part. It's from Notes on the Assemblage. It can begin with clouds, how they fray, how they enter, then how they envelop the earth. In a second or two, they vanish. You touch them. They take you. You find yourself in their absence. Sometimes you read them somehow. The separation, the losses, the sky, yes. It is the sky they were talking about, the character for sky. You are there now. You have always been there, now, where there is fire and thunderface behind the torn universe. You can see this, how it shreds itself, so you can see this, that is all there is. Then nothing again, then you again, and the clouds come to you and you pass. I was in the Inland Empire in California, living there in Redlands, California, by Riverside, 1.5 hours east of L.A. And I had never been in that community. I had been in every other community in California, but I had never been in that inland empire, Palm Springs, Coachella, Redlands, San Bernardino, Corona, Rialto, Colton, Murrieta, inland empire. I'd never really been there. And my wife was with our grandchildren. She decided to be with the grandchildren because it made no sense living in a big old house, doing absolutely nothing because I was going to work. And there really was nothing that she found that was, you know, for her. So it made no sense for her to stay there. So all of a sudden I was just walking my dog and going to work. So I kind of made friends with the clouds. And I made friends with the mountains. And I made friends with the big, you know, strong, elegant red-shouldered hawks. They had no problem. And I'd be walking my dog. I'd go, Chihuahua, you know? Jeez, you know? God. And what am I going to do now? God, I guess I got to go to work. Well, okay, yeah. Going to work. But I just got back, you know? And it's okay. It's great. But now I'm out here. You know, like that? Mr. Complaint. But then I turn my little head around. I go, hey, there's a mountain. And then kind of just threw all that stuff away in my head. I go, jeez, it's wearing a sombrero. A big old cloud sombrero. So that's really nice. How come mountains always have cloud sombreros? You know, they got a habit of having cloud sombreros. What's going on up there? And then I turned to my right. It was all dilapidated, you know, scaffolding. Looked like some kind of windmill, but it had fallen off. And it was just a scaffolding. And a beaten, burned up lot, you know, yellow grass. The last little scroll had gone in exile because that wasn't working out. But on top of the scaffolding, there was a big, beautiful, red-shouldered hawk looking at the sun. That's a cool thing. Looking at the sun. You got it together. Wow. Yeah. That's right, you know. You're right. You got it going. Yeah. Look at that sun. And the mountain with a cloud hat. That's all right. All right. Yeah. This is my town. So that's what happened to me after a while. You know, I was reading Thich Nhat Hanh's writings, and he said, when I was in exile, he said, I made friends with the birds, and I made friends with the trees, and I made friends with the butterflies and the stones. I said, let me think about that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's not just us little humans. It's a big world out here. Yeah. Community. Let's make community with everyone and everything. So I began to do that. It felt good. So that's when that poem comes from. And behind those shredded sombrero hat clouds, I saw this really strong light, you know, because of the sun's coming up. But it was really strong. It was really strong, and it was kind of a rainy fall, autumn-y day. And since the hawk kind of encouraged me to look that way, I kind of looked up there. And I called it Thunderface, because it was really powerful. It wasn't messing around. And it was Thunderface. I go, beautiful. I'm not going to say too much to you, Thunderface, because you're pretty strong up there. So I'm just going to walk by and honor you. So that's where some of these poems come from. This is called Ayotzinapa. You know all the things have been happening. Ayotzinapa, young what's that? Exactly. That's it. 43 students learning to be teachers in a rural school in Ayotzinapa, in the state of Guerrero, southern Mexico, protesting because they needed more funds and they were receiving their funds. Ayotzinapa for the students, for Mexico, for the world. From Ayotzinapa, we were headed toward Iguala to say to the mayor that we wanted funds for our rural school for teachers. It was a protest for our school, that is all. Rural teachers, nothing more, nothing less. We were protesting for funds, that is all. We were surrounded by police and their cronies. They fired their guns. They burned us. They dismembered us in trash bags. They threw us into the river, yet we continue. Yet we march from here, from the bowels of Mexico. This river that floods all the schools and all the universities and all the floors of all the emperor's palaces. We continue. At 24 years of age, we make way through the massacre here from where we were born and from where we died, toward all the cities in the world, toward all the students and teachers in the world, demonstrating in all the streets, sprung open, incandescent. No one knew it. No one saw it. We are leaving this number, 43, for you. Because there were 43 of us, we are not disposable. Nadie supo, nadie lo vio. Aquí dejamos este número, 43, para ti. Porque éramos 43. Nosotros no somos desechables. We are not disposable.
How do you feel about skipping the Q&A and just rolling for another 15 minutes and do your thing?
Okay.
Does that work?
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
I like the story.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And lift the man with a chokehold. Y si el hombre con el chokehold. What I did in this collection, some of the poems, maybe four or five, I wrote a rough draft in Spanish. And then my good friend Laura Flores was really good. He worked them. So he's a translator. And I thought you would like that. I thought you would like a book in English and with some of the poems in Spanish and also in English. I thought you would enjoy that. And if the man with a chokehold pulls the standing man down, why does he live? And if the dead man is gone, why does he rise? And why is there a clicking sound, the sound the soul makes when it leaves, even though no one knows? And if the woman stays, why is she the crucible, the fire? Why is she the voice? And if the voice is never heard, why does it resound for 9 generations? And if it was a teen with a swagger, why is he still prone? And if the police were right and the court was in agreement and the governor spoke humble facing the masses, why are they lost in the infinite desert? And if looters broke the wall and split the wine, why are they still scorched with thirst? And if we march, why does the street divide us as we pass by? Why does it not offer us, here, take my water? And if all the laws are freedom for you, for me, why do we not speak? And if that tree stands behind you, green, with its last 2 limbs up, swollen with blood, why does it not suffer? Why does it blossom torches? So these are poems from Notes on the Assemblage. You know, sometimes we get the writing bug to write a poetry book, and we get a concept. I always get these concepts. I'm going to write a book, you know, about circuses and butterflies and yellow painted toys and yellow Ferris wheels. I like that title, by the way, Yellow Ferris Wheels. And then I'll write that book. It has all kinds of things like that in it. And it kind of comes together, and it's a very happy book. And I'm happy with the book because it all came together. But I had some poems called Soap Factory. It's really complicated. It was really out there. And it had to do with data, and it had to do with, you know, coding, and it had to do with the new tier of identity that was not identity, and the second tier, which is history and how we feel about ourselves. And it was an amazing thought. And after 1 year of laboring, hunched over a big old desk, wooden desk, and my dog sitting down next to me, and a little tiny glass of water, and everybody in the house abandoned by me. They're used to it. Hope they're not too used to it. Yeah. It all fell apart. The book just fell apart. I go, this book is just a concept. It needs a little heart. And I just didn't keep it. I didn't keep it. It fell apart. Chihuahua. After a whole year. Jeez. Wow. So then things started to happen, like Ayotzinapa. And so I wrote that. And things started to happen, the killings, young people, African Americans, in some cases. And I wrote about that. And Sandy Hook. And the recent massacres in South Carolina. And Boston. And I encouraged my students, and I encouraged all of California. This is when I was Poet Laureate of California, to write about those things. So I had a stack of poems all over the place, and a lot of poems were coming in. And I was putting together all those poems from beautiful people writing about, you know, really, really good things that they really wanted to feel, and send their poems out to Sandy Hook. And that was amazing. And then I came back home, and I said, I just have a book that fell apart, and I have some poems. But you know what? Maybe I can just put them together. So that's what this book is. Those poems that just forced themselves onto my desk, and that were responses to a number of things that were taking place. Oh, look at this. This is You and I Belong in This Kitchen. And I like this poem because the title is so cool. Everybody say, You and I Belong in This Kitchen. Doesn't that sound cool? You and I Belong in This Kitchen. It's kind of cool. And this is when we went to Thich Nhat Hanh's Deer Park Monastery near Escondido, California, Southern California. And I lived in Escondido as a child with my father's giant army truck and a house he made on top of an old car made out of wood with a one-bedroom house. It sounds like two bedrooms, see? One-bedroom house. And a tiny little stove and a lot of salsa. We talked about that already. So there we are. You and I belong in this kitchen. Longtime hermano Bob tells me. One of the monks in brown directs us to the deep sink. Made of two sinks, the hose and the silver table where all the spoons and metal tongs are clean. Wait at the entrance for directions, the monk gave me. But he is in there and points me to another sink, made of two sinks, and a silver table where all the spoons and metal tongs are clean. Scrub off the rice burned at the bottom, clinging to the sides of the steel. Outside, working the hole in the earth, three monks in brown stir the blackish pots boiling, four kettles of mud cakes for the new lunar year, the dragon, the people, the monastery, the mountains. One monk stands staring into the nothing, no thoughts around him. The other monk descends through the colorless fog, two children angle an exploded tree limb, back and forth. So the sparks play with them. To the left, the meditation hall is curved and faces Escondido, down below, where my father drove his army truck and pulled our trailer to a stop on Lincoln Road in 54. I watered spidered corn and noticed the deportations. Little friends gone, the land left to freeze alone. Lunch is served. We go to the line. The spoons and the speckled tongs await by the brown rice, white rice, eggplant, kimchi, and a grape pot. Pour the seaweed soup. We go with our tray and sit. The mud cakes are ribboned in red and green and gold. There's a way to do this. It requires listening and seeing and silence. Silence, the bell rings. Long time hermano Bob and I at the parking lot. We leave brown cloth, naked spoons, naked pots. Steam rises from the sink, and the view with no one. Thank you so much. You know, you're walking down the street, and you had a little salmon salad, and you're leaving the little restaurant, and right there in front of you on the sidewalk, there's a little white dove. And you go near it, and it's beautiful, and it doesn't want to fly away. And you kind of notice it tries to fly, but then it crashes down onto the asphalt. And you look away, and there's like heavy traffic. So you pick up the dove, put in a little liquor box that you get from the liquor store, and say, yeah, it's going to be all right, little dove. And you put it on the back seat and take the little dove home. This is called white dove, found outside Don Teriyaki's. On Cedar in Herndon, going nowhere, brought her home. Bought her seeds, a rabbit cage, and carried her out every day and let her fly in the room next to my bedroom. I was concerned about her. I asked myself, what can I do? She's not happy. She's not free. She dances when I take the cage outside and set it on the angular table in the breezeway when the sun waves through and the trees sway before noon when the sister doves, blue jays, call and peck at the seeds she spills. She steps to one side, to the other, and back, and forth. She peers at me through the wires. I take her inside. She purrs. She calls. If I release her, she's going to stumble. Then Jack Hawk will shred her. So I'll keep her in the cage, I tell myself. I know you were expecting heavy-duty, you know, Iron Man poetry. But I thought I'd share these poems, which I haven't read to anyone, with you. This is Notes on the Assemblage. This is a poem I like, not because I wrote it, but because it kind of is kind of like a non-poem poem. And those are the best kind. Huh, Frank? Kind of the best kind. You know, sometimes you get up and you go, upon thy viridian throne, the oblique light entered the fog. And I thought about the shafts of light cutting through, starlight trembling. The stump of earth was left, and the blood of autumn through the amber tones on the cube. That cold, frozen interiority left alone under the ashes. The illusions of a past life. Now, all there is this urban breeze. Hey, maybe I should write those, you know. But this is Notes on the Assemblage. Use black and gray and speckled white construction paper. Use stripped, scraped, and perforated construction paper. Use found paper. Use cardboard and wet and mashed. Overlay on old encyclopedias and sheets with images. Something like Kentridge or Delmore Schwartz. Use soap to brush them. Draw with pencil and marker. Draw the soap and noodles, some stones. Draw with pencil and marker for outline, 11 by 14 sheet. Draw the muddy camp, the bus, the pier, the toilet line, close-ups, too. How we look at each other, what we have on our faces. You can cross thought through it. You can escape into it and out through its holes and gases. Our faces have changed. Can we go back? You can't wash it off, but you can erase it. That's Notes on the Assemblage. I know. I got a funny feeling that you like the other one better. It's okay. You know, it's breath. You know, as Ginsberg would say, it's mind breath. This is for Phil Levine, such a good man, such a great man, such a beautiful poet. Such a good friend, such a great colleague. When I got out of the, where was I coming from? Out of the writer's workshop in Iowa, going back to Fresno, got a job at Chicano Studies at Fresno State. And he was there waiting for me. Hey, Juan. Hey, Phil. Jeez. Hey. So welcome. Okay? Let's get it out of the way. Welcome. And that was very nice of him to be there. It's just so good to have a friend. And when we used to read on stage at the poetry festival in the Dodge, Geraldine Dodge Poetry Festival. Wow. Wow. That's big. Wow. So guys, as you would say, 1969. Wow. Yeah. That's, man, wow, man. It's very big. And we would be on stage, and Natasha Fethaway was there, and Raul Zurita from Chile with his 40-pound book. Amazing, about the coup of Chile and the disappeared, Los Desaparecidos. And Phil and me over here. And, you know, the reading hadn't started, so it was Albu and me saying, yeah, so hey, so what are you going to tell him, huh? You know, or they would ask him something. Phil, we'd like to ask you, your latest thoughts on poetry. Hey, so what shall I tell him? Huh? What do you want? What about you, Juan? What are you going to tell him? So he was like that too. We'd be ribbing each other and having a little sideshow in front of everybody. Such a good man. It was freezing outside in Riverside. It's freezing. I needed like an Alaskan parka from REI or something. Some heavy duty, you know, Sherpa outfit. And he was walking with a little tiny flannel, you know, a little thin, paper thin flannel shirt. Hey, what's going on, Juan Felipe? What's wrong with you? Wake up. You're freezing. Come on. It's like only like, you know, 40 degrees. Well, make that like 30 degrees in Philadelphia. Hey, Phil. This is called Hey, Phil. Hey, Phil. They're writing about you, Phil. You know, good stuff, the prizes, Detroit. And that poem you said in past lives, you were a wild sun-crested fox being chased by ladies and gentlemen on horseback. You said you would wake up in the morning with the poem, ready, that it slipped untangled from a dream. All you had to do was sit up and write. The stage was a poem, too, even though most of us were too prepared. You preferred to joke before we went on, before the poetry light hit us on the face. It did not matter to you. You just carved, chiseled, punctured, rotated, jitterbugged, and whirred past a distant gate. That's for our good man, good friend, Phil. Yes. One more? Okay. You've got a deal. Sometimes a lot of people ask me for poems on the spot. You know, so I do that. I go, just give me 2 seconds and then I'll write it for them. And I call them poemas al vapor, poems, vapor poems, because here in Philadelphia, as a matter of fact, and in Mexico and in Latin America, they have poems al vapor, the little, stroller-like vendor strollers with little wheels and like a little boiling plate and tacos on top, kind of steam tacos. They're called tacos al vapor, and which are made really fast. And they're not fried, you know, for your vegans. They're not fried. They're really good. So I have poemas al vapor. This is called Poem by Poem, and Frank read some lines from it. Thank you, Frank, for doing that. Great poet. Great poet, Frank. Poem by poem. In memory of Cynthia Hurd, Susie Jackson, Ethel Lands, Reverend D. Payne Middleton, Doctor, Honorable Reverend Clementa Pinckney, Taiwanza Sanders, Reverend Daniel Simmons Sr., Reverend Sharonda Singleton, Myra Thompson, shot and killed while at church, Charleston, South Carolina, 6/18/2015. Rest in peace. Poem by poem, we can end the violence. Every day, after every other day. 9 killed in Charleston, South Carolina. They are not 9, they are each one alive. We do not know. You have a poem to offer. It is made of action. You must search for it. Run outside and give your life to it. When you find it, walk it back, blow upon it, carry it taller than the city where you live. When the blood come down, do not ask if it is your blood. It is made of 9 drops. Honor them. Wash them. Stop them from falling. Thank you, my dear friends. Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much. Thank you, Andy.
So I'm glad we could skip the Q&A and now we'll just go upstairs.
Okay.
So we decided to skip the Q&A so that you would have more time to hear Juan's poems, and I think that was a good choice. Please join me in thanking Juan Felipe Herrera.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.